and you can get the heartbeat of the people at your front door.
Nice. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog, episode 6 for Friday, May 15th, 2015. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, it's Gadget Week on Terrifying Robot Dog. We've been trolling around Kickstarter and Indiegogo, and we found 4 cool projects that we think you might be interested in. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. All right, folks, so we are thinking about doing a regular spot on Terrifying Robot Dog. Probably monthly, we're planning on doing a kind of a gadget roundup for smaller electronic devices that we think are cool or could catch on or, of course, could change the way that we interact with the world or at least our devices. This week, we've got 4 items that fall into basically 2 categories. 2 of them are sort of like security-related types of things, and 2 of the things have to do with handwriting.
More creative stuffs.
Yes. So scary and creative.
Scary and creative. Yeah, that's a good combination.
It might make a good title. All right. You want to just start at the top and work our way down? The list I've got starts with the caller ID on the front door.
Yes. This is a Kickstarter project called People. That's spelled with 2 E's instead of an O.
3, actually.
Well, yes. One at the end. But anyway, People is this little camera that sticks on the front of your door or anywhere else you want to put it. But a door is the logical place. And it has a camera and vibration sensors and that sort of thing. So when someone comes up and opens your door or knocks on your door, you get a notification on your phone that shows you whatever the camera is seeing. Hmm. So you can see who's at your door.
Cool. And it's a nice looking little thing.
Yeah, it is a nice looking little thing. I kind of want one. And they have 41 days to go, and they're already at like $35,000. I'm sure they'll get funded.
Yes.
They might get some of my money. I'm not sure. but yeah, first I was like, oh, okay, it's a webcam with a vibration sensor, and it sends notifications, and it's cool. But then I thought, well, it's cool, but it's not really anything spectacular in terms of some defining new technology or that kind of thing.
Right.
But then they got to the part of the video where they were like, create a database of suspicious people in your neighborhood.
How does that work?
I'm assuming that database is stored on your phone and not on the device, because there's an app on the phone that it sends you the pictures to. So I'm assuming it's in there. But then I thought, and let me preface this by saying it's just where my mind went. It's not what the device does, so I don't want to scare off anyone who's thinking of backing this. But my mind went to, well, these are going to be on front doors, and in a lot of suburban neighborhoods or houses are pretty close together. If things could all talk to each other, and then you have a neighborhood of collectively building databases of information about people in the neighborhood.
That would be kind of interesting if you had that, if it recognized, if they were kind of like networked, like all the ones in the neighborhood, and like one dude went to every single door.
Then you would know.
Right. It's something weird. It's certainly not someone who's, you know, if your app buzzed and it's like, and it says, you know, there's this stranger at the door, and oh, by the way, he just knocked on every single door to every single house on the way there. It's obviously not someone who's looking for you specifically.
Right, right. He's either... He's selling something, or he's canvassing, or staking out houses, or whatever.
exactly.
So that to me was interesting, but at the same time, if it did something like that, it could also, like, I don't know. I can see good and bad both, and the device doesn't currently do this, so it's just where my brain went when I saw it.
Yeah, surveillance state.
yeah. But it is an interesting idea. And the device as it is now is an interesting idea.
Yeah, I mean, I work in the basement, and it's like, I'm about 3 feet below the front door.
Right.
So I can hear when someone comes up, I can hear they knock on the door, and it would be great if I could know whether or not I should run up and open the door or if I should just ignore it.
Yeah. Kira will be home alone, and maybe someone knocks on the door. I don't really want her going and opening the door or pull back all the curtains on the front of the house and look to see who's there, and then it's pretty obvious that there's someone home and that kind of thing. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep. Huh. Well, it's a good looking little thing. You mount it on the inside of the door and it looks through the peephole. It does need a peephole.
Oh, does it mount on the inside and look through the peephole? Or does it stick on the outside? Oh, I thought it stuck on the outside.
No, did someone just steal it then?
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, in my neighborhood, obviously, yeah. I live in a bad area.
Yeah, you need a peephole or a window.
It looks like you're supposed to mount it to the peephole.
Because we have a window on our front door. We don't have a peephole, but we have a window. I wonder if that would work.
Yeah, that makes sense. Seems like it might. So cool. It is, I think it's about $150.
Yeah, all the early bird stuff has been gobbled up.
Gotcha. And, well, you can pledge $1,000. There's still 50 of those left.
What does $1,000 get you? I didn't look.
The high-end model, it said. Yeah, it's just the high-end model.
Chamfered edges.
Yeah, it's 18 karat gold.
Yeah.
It's got an Apple Watch band attached to it.
And you can get the heartbeat of the people at your front door.
Nice. Can you stop the heartbeat?
Can you stop the...
Yeah, just for a second. Just to scare them. Yeah,
just...
Anyway.
Well, you will not sell me magazine.
Yeah. It was originally called Finger of God. But... okay, so that is kind of cool. I am sure that there will be some people interested in this. Obviously, there are. They sold out of the $100 and $150 versions. So cool.
Yep.
All right, moving right along. Let's stick with the security angle and talk next about Checker, a revolutionary new way to keep your personal things safe.
Yeah, Checker is kind of cool, and it doesn't look like it's going to come anywhere near close to being funded. But basically, it is a little checker-sized, almost, disk that has a bunch of gyroscopic sensors inside of it, and you put it on your stuff, and then when you come back later and check it, it tells you if that stuff has been disturbed.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like that, there's a James Bond movie where he takes a hair and puts it across his door to see if the hair is still there when he gets back.
Yeah.
Reminded me of that.
Yeah, it did, me too. But it's cool, and I'm surprised it hasn't done better than it has. I wonder if it's been a marketing thing, or as you said, maybe a battery thing, because the battery only lasts a few days, and then you have to remember to charge it.
Yeah, that's a drag, because I could use this sometimes, but the thing is, I don't want to be the kind of person that thinks about it all the time.
Yeah.
I want to be the kind of person that just puts it somewhere and either, it sends me an alert or it doesn't. I want to forget about it. And you can't do that if you have to charge it every day or two.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. One of the examples that they showed there that I thought was interesting was put one in the medicine cabinet, and then you know if someone's gotten into your medication, which can be handy if you and potentially life saving if you have small kids in the house, or if you have elderly or just whatever,
or babysitters,
that kind of thing. And so I like that, but I want to be able to stick it in my medicine cabinet and then never have to think about it again.
Right. That to me is, I would buy this just to check it out, but the battery thing is a deal breaker for me.
Yeah.
So they had a bunch of kind of, actually it made me laugh in the video a couple times. They had, you can hang it on like a little loop and put it around like your booze, or, they had one picture of like a pack of cigarettes laying on the table and they put the checker on top of it. And, but the booze thing, I guess it made sense. I mean, thinking back to my days in high school and knowing that, perhaps someone in my family might have gotten into the cabinet.
Was there slightly less alcohol in this bottle than last time, or am I just imagining things?
Well, so the funny thing is, I've seen parents, mark the line, like a line for the level of how much booze is in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, they've got like five lines on there. They can't remember how many lines there are, so you just draw a new one.
Right.
Not that I've ever done that.
Not that you've ever done that.
I want to make it clear
that
I've definitely never done that.
You're not speaking from experience here.
It's so funny to think back on stuff like that as a parent now and be like, like if they're as clueless then as I am now, it's no wonder I never got caught in anything.
Exactly.
So anyway, again,
is the child acting drunk? No, then okay, we'll not worry about it.
We're good. Yeah,
we're good.
So
maybe she experimented, but she did it responsibly at least.
Right. Well, at least she's not old enough to drive.
Right.
So
exactly.
Anyway, there was a hotel example where, you know, that you're going to have cleaning service come in and, you know, maybe you put it in your suitcase or whatever. And I've had friends that have, what's that wireless camera that's so popular? The drop cam, that's what it is. Okay. So I do have a friend who has a drop cam in his house, and it actually did capture, you know, someone on camera breaking into his house while he was away. And mm-hmm. he was called the police immediately, and they caught the guy, and he went to jail. Like the whole like perfect, you know, case
storm of,
for
yeah.
using the drop cam.
Right.
But this is far less sophisticated than that, which could be a good thing if it had a 2-year battery life and you could just throw it in somewhere and, you know.
Yeah. I just want to put it somewhere and not have to worry about it. And, and another thing, it wasn't clear from the information on the Kickstarter. If you're within range and your stuff is messed with, like, it'll send you a notification right away.
Yes.
So if you're presumably if something somewhere else in the house, or you can check it. If you're out of range, you can check it when you get back. But what I would like to see is if this also had like a little audible alarm on it when mm-hmm. someone messed with your stuff and you weren't there with your phone or whatever.
Yep.
Because that would be a better theft deterrent. Because someone knows if they pick up your laptop, oh, it's going to start beeping and what have you and alert everyone else in the room,
right.
in the coffee shop that, hey, someone's doing something they shouldn't hear.
Right. Exactly, like a house alarm, but on your laptop. I think the way they're thinking of it is more like when you get back to wherever you left it.
Yeah, it's like a nanny cam thing.
It doesn't take pictures or anything, just to be clear. It kind of like, I can imagine using it and I would get back and it either has like a big green screen that says that it wasn't moved or it has a red screen that something was moved. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine it coming back and being like if I got a green screen, I'd be like, sweet, there's no way this thing got moved. No one's been in here. No one's messed with my stuff. Okay, that's cool. If I got a red one, I would probably be like, maybe something happened, but not necessarily. Like, it could be, so that's kind of like when you were
like
talking
maybe
about
the table got bumped.
Yeah, or there was a minor earthquake, or somebody opened up the medicine cabinet and accidentally knocked over the pills or whatever. So it doesn't, with something this unsophisticated, I don't think I'd want the live alerts because I feel like you'd get a lot of false positives or false warnings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd just be freaking myself out all the time. Because you can't see what's happening. It's not recording the action or something. You just know that the thing moved and
that's that a thing happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, great. I was enjoying date night, but now I'm afraid.
I need to go check on my medicine cabinet.
Yeah. I'm afraid that like the kid just swallowed a bunch of sleeping pills or something.
Right. You know? Right. Or like, okay, I got up and I'm at the coffee shop and I got up and left my computer for 2 minutes and now I'm in the bathroom and I'm worried someone may be stealing my computer.
Come running out and you find someone just moved one of the chairs away from the table so they could use it. Get like toilet paper hanging out of your pants.
Right.
But anyway, it doesn't look like it's going to get backed, folks.
So
unless you want to quickly buy like 500 of them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's there's something to the idea.
Yeah. There's something there. It just needs a better use case or so like a feature set that's slightly different, but it's certainly interesting. It just sort of like, it's a simple way to add a sensor to the environment. That's what was so interesting about it to me. Mm-hmm. It's just like this, put it down and it's working.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we've got everyone all freaked out.
Go on to more creative endeavors.
Yes. Creative endeavors. So this caught my attention because I've wanted something like this since the days of Omni magazine in the 80s. When I read an article, like seriously that long ago, like whatever that is, 20, 35 years ago, about this company who was, had came up with a concept for a graph paper style that had a non-repeating graph pattern across hundreds of thousands of virtual acres. And they were going to license the technology to like the companies at the time would be like Mead or Pilot. You know, back then it made notebooks, maybe even Trapper Keeper, whoever made
Trapper
that.
Trapper Keeper's Mead.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
God, I love those. So, but what it was you bought this paper, and because it was a non-repeating graph pattern that was almost invisible to the eye, they could print out a virtually infinite number of sheets of paper and never have the pattern repeat. So you could So you could use a pen on it that had a little camera that could detect like what every piece of paper was unique, and this pen that would pair with it that knew what page you were on. So I don't remember now how it supposedly worked or what the supposed benefits of it, but I just remember being like, that is the coolest thing ever. And so years later, something called LiveScribe came out, and this is a pretty cool thing, but it was always like, there was always just enough of a reason for me to not buy one.
Yeah, and Wacom has a similar offering too.
Yeah, is it tablet based?
No, they have just a pen as well. I'm looking it up.
I think the Wacom one it plugs in over USB though, and it's for your computer. But while you're looking that up, so the LiveScribe, it's pretty expensive. It has some cool features. You have to charge it a lot, and you had to manually sync it. That was the deal breaker for me. The notes went into the thing, and you had to manually sync it. But the concept was really cool in the sort of modern age that we're in now, the post-Omni magazine world. There are lots of ways that becomes useful. So the notes can – you write notes on a – this is another problem with the LiveScribe, is that you write in a special notebook that you have to buy from them, and you have to use this – of course, you have to use this special pen. And your notes can automatically sync – to like Evernote or OpenOffice or Microsoft Office, or just sync to all these different places. So you have this kind of like backup of your notes. And what's happening is that as you're writing, it actually writes, ink comes out of it and goes on the page so you can see what you're doing. But there's also a camera there that's keeping track of your motions and when the tip of the pen is touching the paper and when it's not. And so it creates kind of like a digital representation at the same time. That is what gets uploaded, and it uses like OCR or not OCR, but handwriting translation tech in the cloud, or maybe just sends it to Evernote and Evernote figures it out because they do that too, to convert that into type, you know, like you typed it or whatever. At least you have a backup of your notes.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like Wacom discontinued theirs. I don't see it on their site anymore.
Yeah. Gotcha. So LiveScribe, it's gotten good reviews, but it's pretty expensive. It's just not quite right for what I want. So anyway, I especially don't like that you have to have a special notebook. So this new thing that we actually both stumbled across on Kickstarter, it has been funded already, and it's called Free, which is spelled Free. And it looks like the price will be around $150 to $200 if you get the case. And I think the case is actually a very compelling piece of technology itself.
Oh, is it? I hadn't looked into that.
Yeah, it's cool. So the you know those pens that you get from like, not pens, but pencils you get at like Home Depot at the checkout? They're orange and they're sort of flat so they don't roll off of the workplace.
Yeah, the carpenter pencils.
Yep, and you take like a utility knife to sharpen them. They're very like flat and wide so they don't roll anywhere.
Right.
This is clearly modeled after that shape, and it has a whole bunch of controls on it. So it's like a silver pen shaped like one of those construction pencils.
Yeah, I hadn't even made that connection until you said it, but yeah, you're right. That's totally what it's modeled after.
Yeah.
So your expensive pen doesn't roll off your desk.
Yeah, exactly. And looking at it, I mean, it looks kind of awkward, but using those pencils is not awkward, so I'm sure it's probably fine. But it has a whole bunch of cool stuff built into it. So it's got, it has a tip, of course, and the tip doesn't actually write. Ink doesn't come out of it. Mm-hmm. But if you press hard, it'll click. So that's actually your left mouse button. And then right behind that is a little camera, which is much more sophisticated than the LiveScribe one. It's some sort of, they've got a funny name for it, but it's basically a laser that can detect distance. It basically detects this stuff a gyroscope would detect, but it's using, you know, it's using lasers instead. So what you can do is you can kind of use it like a Bluetooth mouse in a way. You can imagine that you connect it to, say, your computer, and you can move the tip around like you're writing, and it would move the mouse pointer around your screen. And then if you pushed and the tip clicked, it would click on the thing. And that's not what you're supposed to do with it, but I'm just trying to explain how it might work.
Yeah.
It has another button, sort of where your index finger would be, that is the right mouse button. So you could actually navigate around your computer using this.
Yeah, now that does sound similar to a Wacom stylus in that you mm-hmm. push hard for the left click, and then there's the rocker switch for your right click.
Yep. Yeah, so you could theoretically navigate around your computer that way, but that's probably not useful. But if you have an Android phone, you can connect it to an Android phone and navigate around the Android phone that way, which I've done with other external keyboards. And it's actually kind of useful in a lot of cases, and not tons of cases, but say on an airplane, you can use your Android phone, especially if it's a decent size one. You can use with a full Bluetooth keyboard and mouse and like really get around that thing, type like crazy, switch between apps, click buttons. It's actually surprisingly useful. So that might be an interesting use case for it. Then it's got, what else does it have built in? It has Bluetooth, it's got the rechargeable battery, it's got an accelerometer in it. It's got a microphone and speaker. Microphone is down near the tip and the speaker is up near the end, which you can actually use to answer phone calls. this seems like kind of hokey to me, but
yeah.
If your phone's in your pocket and it rings, you can answer it on the pen.
On the pen, right.
Yeah.
I was going to make some kind of shoe phone comment here, but I don't know.
It looks a little hokey, but, you know, you can do it.
It works. You can do it. Of course, then can you use the microphone on your phone? Can you do like OK Google?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. Well, you wouldn't. Yeah. I guess if it talked
hold
back.
Hold up your pen and go, OK, Google, talking into the end of your pen.
Yeah. It oddly crazy. You can also plug headphones into your pen. So that would actually work.
Well, if you had to get the pen in your shirt pocket, you could have a really short headphone cord that wouldn't be getting all over the place.
This is actually not that crazy when you think about it. If you had like the iPhone headphones that have the buttons and stuff and the microphone right on the cord, you could have the pen in your pocket or, you know, someplace in your hand even, and keep your phone put away and then have the, you know, you could answer a call that way. But check this out. You can actually, there's a screen on one side of the pen that's a touch screen, and you can switch the pen into different modes. So what you can actually do is press the phone mode, write a number on the table or your leg or your hand or any surface. It will call the number, and then you can answer it on the pen or in headphones that are plugged into the pen, which is kind of wild.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah. So take it one step further. You can even do text messaging back and forth where
you're actually writing out the text message.
Literally writing out the text message.
I would love that. That would be so much easier than typing on a tiny
screen.
Phone
right.
screen.
Yeah. And then when they text back, it shows up on the pen screen. It's actually not totally crazy.
Yeah. I kind of want it just for text messaging now.
Yeah. Yep. So, okay. So it's pretty interesting. I mean, this has way more features, and I think they're not completely wacky. It has a lot more features than the other ones, like LiveScribe or the Wacom one.
I want this more than I want an iWatch.
Oh,
an Apple
you know
Watch.
What? I agree. Yeah. I do too. And it's way cheaper.
Yeah. I need to stop calling it an iWatch.
No, I think that's funny. I think it's funnier if you call it iWatch. What's it called again? I think it's an iWatch. It must drive them crazy. It's not an iWatch. So check out the case. All right. Mm-hmm. I like this trend. This is a cool trend. I've seen it in a couple of things. The Moto Hint has it as well, where the case is actually a charging mechanism.
Oh, okay. See, I hadn't looked into this nearly as much as you apparently have. So there's a lot more features than I initially thought. This is cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So it's this sort of oblong. It's kind of coffin like, actually, to tell you the truth. It's long. Pencil boxy kind of, I don't know. It's small. It would still fit in your pocket. It looks pretty cool. The whole thing is pretty snazzy looking. And it's got, you know, you charge up the case. So the case has a battery in it. And when you slide the pen in there, the pen is charging. Mm. So there's also a battery in the pen, of course, and you can charge the pen directly using micro USB. Yeah. But if you charge up the case, I didn't see anywhere how many charges you can get out of the case, but my Moto Hint, the Hint will hold a charge for like half a day, but you can put it back in the case and it'll charge to full three times. So you can easily get a day out of it as long as you have the case with you. So presumably this will be similar where
one would assume that you could at least get a full day of use.
Yes, hopefully. Because it is not a normal pen, unlike the LiveScribe, which is a normal pen as well. So this would become useless if the battery died.
Right.
So the other thing about the pen is it's got what looks like a little silver, it's a silver clip that is the cover, but it also sort of looks like, it has a pen look to it. It's weird. It's hard to describe. You'll have to go check out the show notes, but you take off the sort of L-shaped cover and you put it down and check this out. It's magnetic and it sticks to the case and it's configured so that you can actually use it as a phone stand. So you put the phone in it in landscape mode, mm-hmm. and there's a bunch of different apps that will take handwriting as input, Evernote, the Google handwriting keyboard.
And then you can just write on the...
You just write on... Yeah, so you set up the screen, so you're looking at it, and you just write on the table, and your notes go right onto the phone screen in real time.
That's cool.
Yeah, so you can take notes on the table, no paper, no nothing. You see them up on the screen. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, typing notes is such a pain.
On the phone, yeah.
On the phone, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, can you imagine, like, having one of these when you're a student?
That's what I'm thinking. You show up to class, you pull out, you don't have your laptop, you just pull out a phone, and you write on the desk. Right. Used to be against the rules. So, I don't know. I want to try this. I don't.
Yeah.
It might be a gimmick, but it's pretty cool. I mean, my main reason for not wanting this is that I've got that fountain pen that I can't imagine not using anymore.
Right, yeah. I can't not use my fountain pen.
Yeah. So, anyway, this is definitely worth keeping an eye on, and it did get funded, so you'll be seeing these on a tabletop near you soon. And then, so now on a similar kind of category, but taking it from the other way around, is something called Rocketbook, which is advertised as a cloud-integrated microwavable notebook.
Yes, this I had seen before.
Yeah, this has been around.
It's been around for a while, I think.
Mm-hmm. It says the campaign was funded on May 3rd, 2015, but I feel like I've seen it somewhere before. Maybe this was the second time they tried, or maybe they tried on... This is actually on Indiegogo, so maybe they did not get funded on Kickstarter or something.
That might be it, because I am almost positive I've seen this on Kickstarter before.
Yeah. So what it is a pretty standard looking... It's a handsome spiral bound notebook, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 8.5 by 11. You can get them in different sizes, but the ones that they have in the videos are 8.5 by 11. And it has a companion app that you would put on your phone. And what you do is using easily special pens, but they're cheap and easy to get anywhere. They're called Friction Pens by Pilot. So yes, they're not the fountain pen, but they're a normal pen that you can get anywhere cheaply. And, you know, it's just a normal notebook. You write and write and write. And when you're done with, when you fill it up, let's say, or whatever, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. whatever your schedule is, you lay it flat on the table and hold your phone so that you can see the entire spread. So both pages at the same time, take a picture, flip the page, take a picture, flip the page, take a picture, flip the page, take a picture, flip the page. So you basically, you can do that whenever you want, of course. But what you're doing is... The app on the phone is taking a picture of your stuff, of course.
Yeah.
And then at the bottom of every page, there are 7 icons. There's like a rocket ship. There's a musical note. There's an eyeball. There's a fish. And inside of the app, you configure what each one of those things means.
Oh, okay.
So one of them could mean send this to my customer folder in Evernote. Another one could mean send this to me as an email or put this in my drafts folder in Gmail. Another one could be, I don't know, upload this to Dropbox, something like that.
Yes.
So you just take the regular pen and you fill in the icons at the bottom of any given page. And as you're taking the pictures, the app follows the instruction.
And knows where to put it.
Yep. And it'll sort it for you.
That's cool. I remember, now I am certain I've seen this before, because I remember last time I saw this, I think we were talking about it and we said, well... How does the OCR stuff work with taking the picture, because your angles are going to be all off and everything, and I think there's also like little like register marks that it uses to determine all that stuff, because I remember it, because at the time I thought, huh, that's an interesting project. So I actually was playing around in Image Magic trying to find ways to de-skew photos of handwriting taken at an angle.
You are correct, actually. There is it's a white piece of paper, of course, and there is a black frame all the way around the edge. It's very, very clearly visible, mm-hmm. that it must use to de-skew the page.
Yeah. I remember trying to write code to do that with moderate success.
Cool. Well, so we didn't even get to the hilarious part.
Yeah, the hilarious part.
So these a notebook and pack of pens is like $40, which is not cheap for a notebook and a pack of pens. But when you're done, assuming you used the Pilot pens, you can put it in the microwave for 10 seconds and it erases the whole thing, which is hilarious.
It is.
So you can keep on using the same notebook over and over, and all of it is like indexed and stored in the cloud. It's searchable and all that stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's like Moleskine has this subscription service where you can, you'll get a notebook and when you fill it up, you'll mail it back to them and they'll digitize it for you and send you a fresh notebook. But this is better. This is eliminating that middleman.
Yeah. There's like so much. So I love that all the tech is on the phone. It's just plain old pens. Yeah. No battery, nothing like that. And it's just a plain old notebook, no battery, nothing like that. It's just all this, the pages set up graphically in a way that the app can understand. So all of that heavy lifting happens inside your phone, which is fine. You're already dealing with carrying your phone around and charging it and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I love how low tech this is. And of course, making it low tech like that is really inexpensive. So you can get them for a fair price. And as long as you've got a microwave, it's kind of like an infinite notebook.
Right. I mean, I'm sure it wears out at some point, but you're going to get a lot of uses out of it.
Right. It just might be just physically dog-eared eventually. But man, is it cool. Okay, folks. So hopefully you found that interesting. We're planning to make this a regular feature, maybe once a month. So we'd be interested to hear back from you, maybe on our Facebook page, about whether you think that's a good idea or you think it's a terrible robot idea. all right, that's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
You forgot to say it that time.
Well, because I was waiting for you. I've got this script at the end where I didn't write down the byes. And so I was getting ready to jump into the next part. Anyway, so here's the next part.
You realized, yeah.
Yes. Would you like to support Terrifying Robot Dog? I thought so. Just think of two friends who would dig the show and send them to terrifyingrobotdog.com for links to iTunes, Facebook, and RSS feeds. Or if you don't have two friends, you can still help us out by leaving a nice review in iTunes. Thanks.